Talk nerdy to me. Talk nerdy to me.
Why are we listening to this? What is...
It's a parody video. Oh, shut up. Watch your lame-ass YouTube videos every fucking time you come over here. You have to listen to mine. Get over it.
Fine, I'll never show you another YouTube video again.
Is that a promise?
That's a promise.
Okay. Promise accepted. Unless it's really funny.
So, not only did I apply for the Rochester, New York position, I also applied for a St. Louis, Missouri position.
Okay. It's okay. I'm updating my resume and applying for a AV manager position down at The Breakers in Palm Beach.
So we're just running away from each other then?
Pretty much. That's what it sounds like.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Okay. I decided you pick a direction, I'll pick a direction, and we'll run, you know, that way.
Since we're no longer running towards each other, we're going to run away from each other?
Correct.
Okay. Actually, I have to look something up because I'm curious. St. Louis, Missouri is not close to Kansas City. Shit.
Why?
Well, because I was going to say if it was close to Kansas City, guess what's in Kansas City?
Doug.
Google Fiber.
Oh, so frustrating.
There was a fly. I hope you guys can hear it.
I can't.
No. Sorry, Joe.
That's too bad. It would have been great. Yeah.
Oh, good. Thank you for doing the impression of the fly.
I know. I wanted you to be able to hear it.
You make for a good fly.
Yeah. You know, I hooked up an old rotary dial the other day. It was awesome.
Okay.
I even made a phone call with it.
I love them.
There's something sexy about the feel of a rotary.
Do you have it next to you? Can you, like, spin it?
I can, let me, I can, I'm going to go grab it.
I just want to hear that. I just want to hear that so bad.
There's nothing like the sound of a rotary phone.
There isn't. The sound of a rotary phone is like the sound equivalent of fresh pair of socks.
I just don't, oh man, I don't understand how people cannot.
Fair warning, since we're keeping all this, I'm drinking.
No, shit. It's Dick Lidrin, baby. That's it. I'm sending a text to Janelle right now to ask her to stop and pick up a six pack on the way home.
All right, I found it, but I can't hear you yet.
Oh, I gotta hear this.
So,
I wonder if I broke it.
No,
I can hear you. Okay. Oh, so wait. if I have a long enough phone cord, I can go plug this in, and then you can call me on it and hear analog bells.
Oh.
Here you go. It's right up next to the phone. Here we go. I'm going to dial 0.
Oh. Keep zeroing it, baby. Oh.
It's so great.
Oh, that sounds
something
awesome
about the sound of old technology that just kind of makes you hard. Or is that just me?
No.
Nope.
Okay. I can't stand up right now.
My underwear is moist.
It's almost like it's the sound of the cartridge clicking into an NES system.
And then that spring. It's the spring that goes down.
It kind of
creaks.
Oh. My nips are hard. One of those
too. Yeah, I was going to say, you have it in your basement right there. You can't bring out your sex toys for us.
I'll go get the NES. Hold on. This is fun.
What sound is this? Huh?
Oh man, if we can keep going, that's the sound of your keyboard.
That's what's on my iPhone keyboard.
Yes.
Well, I totally can't do this without grabbing a cartridge. I gotta grab a cartridge.
Okay, that's fine, you do that.
Headphones. Okay, all right, here you go. Here is an NES. Boy, this is quality radio. Okay, here we go. Here it is.
Oh!
Ooh, it squeaks.
Oh.
Here, now we're going to take it out nice and slow.
You know what?
That wasn't very slow.
Honest, I imagine that sounds sexier in person because it does really not sound very good.
Okay, here's another one. Here's a surprise. You gotta guess what this one is.
Yeah.
It's not too hard, but it might be when I'm done. Okay, here you go. All right, that's not the part. Here's the other part.
Super Nintendo. Oh,
Super Nintendo. It even sounded like you were in, it would sound like a top loader the moment you put it in there. I was like,
when he slapped the cartridge in?
Yeah, you got to make sure it's secure, baby.
Slap it.
You really want me to slap it?
No.
Slap it. I already put it down. There's a refractory period. You've got to wait a little bit.
And new music from Benny Doom. Welcome to Off the Cuff, episode 51. I am your host, still, and, well, probably for as long as this show actually goes, Michael Powers. I'm joined this week, as you've heard, by the ever-funny Art Danner.
Ha-ha! Hilarious, am I?
And you've heard the wonderful sex toys of Joe Reed.
Hello.
And you also
That's heard, my phone sex voice.
Ooh, and you also heard the new track from Benny Doom, Mecha Man.
That will be the music for Off the Cuff going forward, probably, well,
the next 50 episodes.
Yeah, the next 50 episodes. For those keeping count at home, we have actually done more than 50 episodes. We just don't count our specials as episodes, as they're just special. They're not
special.
They're not real.
Special.
The episodes we do outside of the normal ones to waste time.
I gotta say this right now, especially the last episode. There were some things that happened in the last episode that I wasn't very proud of, and mostly I would like to apologize to Puerto Rican children and Coke Freestyle machines. The sexual acts that we described with a Coke Freestyle machine was probably a little inappropriate. In most regards. So I gotta say, I apologize to the Coke Freestyle community. I still love you.
And they still hate you.
Did the Coke Freestyle community, like, complain to us or something?
I felt bad for desecrating something that I love so much.
Oh, I love those things. I kind of want a Pepsi Freestyle machine do things to Mountain Dew.
Joe, you need to listen to the end of last week's podcast where they were talking about this conversation about freestyles needs to end. I thought we could go and maybe read some of the comments from last episode.
Oh,
basically, please. The first one that showed up was from King of Kongs. He said, "Wow, just wow. There are no words. I'm speechless, simply speechless." And I asked him, "I can't tell if this is a good thing or a bad thing." And he said, "Oh, far more good than bad. Just not at all what I was expecting." For the record, Joe, you probably haven't listened to it, but we, like, threw Danner's script to the wind.
Uh-huh.
And we improv the whole thing. We use this script as kind of like a guideline, just like pecked it apart.
It was more so one of those that we use it as a guideline and had the examples set out, and then just kind of, if we started to wander off, we would pick things out of it, but...
Yeah.
It was mostly improv'd.
The next comment, which sprung some pretty good conversations, was from TFG1 Mike. co-creator of Geekcast Radio. He said, I'll say this episode was interesting, although after about 30 minutes, I wish you guys would have started talking normally. But Ben Brian Jackson kind of came to our defense a little bit. He said, I agree. I thought it was funny for the first 20 minutes, but I was hoping it would eventually end. Then it got funny again, though after a while, I was beaten into submission, I guess.
That's what we do best.
Well, it's not, and he goes on to say, well, it's not that I didn't enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't be against doing the same thing for 100 years on the 100th episode.
But the problem is we all died at the episode. So if we do the 100th episode, it would literally be silence.
Or, that would be hilarious.
Or
really an empty podcast.
Or when we died, our consciousness was beamed into computers and then we could do it in old robotic voices.
Auto-tune. We could do that for everybody.
And we will do it for twice as long.
Mike went on to say that we could have jumped into the DeLorean to return to the present.
Yeah, because we got to do time travel jokes with the DeLorean. Way to go, Mike. Way to be original.
But that wasn't the point of the episode. And some other things were exchanged.
Our episodes have points?
I supposedly.
We weren't doing a time travel episode.
Oh, I see.
We did not depart from the present to go to the future. We were in the future already.
How did I die?
Tommy Bahama poisoning. And then you died in a pile of young Puerto Rican boys' underwear doing what you loved.
Yikes.
It goes back to Sean always goes weird places with you because of the fact that you're a teacher. So he just automatically assumes that you'll be a creepy teacher one day. He just mentally makes that jump all the time. I honestly think he was molested while he was in elementary school. It screams out to me. And the fact that he eats his feelings too. That screams to me as well.
I don't know if I can meet him in person. I think he might like kind of take it out on me or something.
He seems like the type of guy that when you meet him in person and when you go to put out your hand to, you know, shake his hand, he reaches out and grabs your dick and shakes it. He seems like that type of guy. I get that vibe off of him.
That's the vibe you get off of Shanzi?
Oh, totally. Totally. He definitely is a dick shaker. I can tell. It's in his voice.
Considering the only time I've ever chatted with him is on this podcast, I feel like I know him, like we've hung out already. It's kind of interesting.
Well, Danner and I have been gaming with him since 2008.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
That's what I get for not playing multiplayer.
Yeah, you know, we took it as a slap in the face when he didn't come to my wedding, but we're not going to talk about that.
Because that's still a sore subject.
Let's see. Dan Clark from MWire Weekly and Talking in Circles chimed in with, must say, I was rather impressed, you guys. You all went for it and did it. More power to you. I have to admire your dedication.
Well, I said we were going to commit to it no matter what, no matter how bad it got. So
yeah, because you sounded like a witch.
Hey.
A cackling.
Do the voice for Joe. I don't know if I can do the voice for Joe. It was one of those things that it came out and at the start and I thought it'd be weird to kind of shift things.
He sounded like the witch from Banjo-Kazooie.
I don't know if I can do it again.
When I was in college, I played Shadowrun role-playing game and I was a troll, I think. And I don't know what came out of me, but his in-game character voice that spoke with was Michael. Mike Tyson. The high-pitched with the lisp, and I did that voice for, I don't know, a year and a half that we were playing that campaign, and now I can't do Mike Tyson anymore. It's gone.
I'm not a voice actor. I don't, my voice isn't trained to just spew crap out at a drop of a hat, but I could try.
Give it a shot. I want to hear this.
Hey, kids. Nope.
That was close. That was Cranky Neighbor.
No, that wasn't Cranky. It.
That wasn't it?
That's it.
This is it. This is what I went with. This was kind of like this.
Gilbert Godfrey.
It's a little bit Gilbert Godfrey. Yes, a little bit. But according to Mike, I sound like a woman.
At some points, you did.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad totally you enjoyed it.
I totally approve of this. I want to build you a puppet that matches this voice now.
Ah, fantastic. There's nothing more I'd rather do than stick my hand up something's butt and make this voice all the time.
Joe, can we hear your old man voice?
My old man voice would have talked like this because I'm cranky and I want to swing my walking stick at the kids walking down the street with their iPods in their ears. Oh my God, I swear to God,
he was going to say swing my dick at the kids walking down the street.
I'm not that kind of teacher.
Unfortunately, when you get to that age, it's more like swinging your balls at kids because, man, the balls just fall straight down to the knees.
I think my man boobs are going to sag, too. I can swing those around, I bet. Oh, it's depressing.
I've already seen your man boobs, so yes, I would agree.
When have you seen my man boobs? I keep those pretty well covered up.
How could you not see your man boobs in those Tommy Bahama shirts?
I don't even know what Tommy Bahama is. Can I stop now?
Yes. Yep. Honestly, I thought you would have gone with old man Herbert from Family Guy.
That would have been a little creepy.
But it would have been fantastic the entire time. Why oh, man, just doing that little bit of the voice already made my throat scratchy.
How did you survive for the...
I drank two beers during the 45 minutes of podcasting.
He was well-lubricated.
Yes, I kept my throat well-lubricated.
We actually recorded an hour for the show, and 15 minutes of it was used, or 45 minutes of it was usable.
The other 15 minutes was just us cracking each other up so bad that we couldn't continue.
If you guys want to hear that, let me know. I will post an unedited version of that record as like a bonus. If you guys want to hear what it was all, you know, what it was like behind the scenes. Anyways, Born Standing Up says, I thought this was hilarious. Honestly, after 30 minutes, I just kind of got used to it. Brilliant stuff. Although I didn't know if Powers was old or just constipated, to which I responded with yes. And Danner said that I'm usually constipated.
So I vote for old.
Last one, Eric Hutchins. So does this mean you are keeping the show going and not stopping it? I hope that's true. Well, Eric, let's go see how many reviews we have on iTunes, shall we?
I think we surpassed.
Well, we're at 12. And if I'm not mistaken, I think we have 12 reviews, 9 people left written. We have 9 written reviews, which if you guys don't mind, I thought I might take, you know, share these with people.
Well, our 9 listeners are probably the ones who wrote those.
Hey. I don't know. Are you going to read the one that we find absolutely awesome and hysterical at the same time? The one about the
sophomore potty humor?
Sophomore potty humor. That's yep. My favorite.
Yes.
One.
No, I'll share all of them. Because okay. one thing we learned is that we have silent listeners.
Yes.
So there are people that listen, but they just don't share their emotions with us.
Well, going to be honest, if most of their emotions come out like my emotions, it's probably better that they keep that pushed way down.
The first review, and this one doesn't really count, but it gets a pass, comes from TFG1 Mike. The other reason I don't think reviews from the Geekcast Radio staff count is because that's like patting yourself on the back.
I was going to say
that. Or it's like saying, my son
is
smart.
That was going at first. I thought you were just going to go, because Mike reviews things, his opinion just doesn't count, period. So I'm glad you clarified that up as in general.
I just don't think, like, I'm not going to go on here and review my own podcast.
Well, I wouldn't do that either, even though I'm one of the 5-star reviews. Whatever. But I mean, let's move on.
Okay. So anyways, TFG1 Mike said, off the cuff is awesome. Fun talk about video games with more modern games discussed. It is a very interesting show, although I wish there was a bit more retro talk.
Oh, stop.
Love how the host's chemistry works so well and laugh every episode. Check this show out. Mike, thank you for your review and your critique of our show. And we're glad you like our chemistry because we all hate each other.
Well,
it shows.
That's why it works.
That's why it works so well.
Yeah, because we don't respect each other at all.
Nope.
Yep.
Or your opinions. I don't respect your opinions either.
Especially Sean's, because fuck that guy.
Yeah, we didn't have Sean on tonight just because of last week's episode.
I know, because he was totally the downer of the whole episode. I mean, he really dragged that thing from... I mean, it was good, but I mean, it could have been epic or amazing. And because Sean was there, he just kind of kept it pretty even keel.
I love when Sean isn't here to defend himself at all.
It's the time that I choose the most to usually make fun of him is when he's not here to defend himself. And then I get obscene text messages from him on my phone when he's listening to the episode.
You cock! Why did you say that?
Pretty much.
This one is from Nathaniel Day. He says, I just wish there was more. 5-star review. One of the better podcasts on the network called Geekcast Radio. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
I find the network's podcast quality is mixed from good to less than stellar. It tends to depend on who is hosting. This is one of the good ones, no doubt. Funny and full of life. Again, because we all hate each other. That is the secret to a successful podcast chemistry.
Yeah, buddy.
It's what it is we have to get in and we hate each other. So what it enables us to do is get in, get right to it, get it over with so that we can not talk to each other for a week.
Except for we're 20 minutes into this podcast and we haven't talked about video games yet because we get right into that.
Oh, we're going to. If we don't talk Wolf Among Us today, I will feel that this is completely wasted.
Let's see. We have another review from Luke Seller. He says, gotta love it. It is a 5-star review. He says, and this is Danner's favorite one. Great podcast centered around video games and geek stuff in general. The hosts are usually fun, Sean Z. Although some of the crude humor does go overboard at times, Danner. Nothing tasteless, more sophomoric than more sophomoric potty humor that many find funny. Some could find it over the top. I still find myself laughing all the time, so I don't know what I'm complaining about.
It's like almost like he wanted to write a bad review, but he just couldn't commit to it.
Careful, because they can edit these.
I know, but I'm just saying, I by far, and I'm not making fun of Luke at all, I just find his review to be fantastic. I love it. It is so wonderful.
All right, last one, and then we can talk about video games. This one is from Man in Time. Ironic that it comes after we did episode 51. He says, keep it going. 5 stars. Good listen with great hosts. One of the better podcasts on GCRN. Well, we're back, and hopefully we'll be around for another 50-some-odd episodes until we tease you guys with another cancellation. Really, this was never going to go away. I have too much fun doing this show.
I was thinking that we were done. I felt that coming, but I'm glad to say that there's 51 here.
You could tell when Mike gets bored because I get a text message that goes, thinking of reformatting the podcast. followed by another text message goes, I'm wondering if we should start the lunchroom back up again. And I just like every time I'm just like, nah, this is gonna pass in about 3 days. Every time.
Except this time. Because the lunchroom's coming back.
Oh, Jesus.
Really?
Not as a separate podcast. This is kind of because people seem to like to hear what we have to say. About
lies
things. And so what we're going to do is, as long as we fill our obligation to talk about games, it doesn't really matter for how long that is. We will throw on a separate bonus episode on the end of various ones called The Lunchroom. And where we will get to talk about whatever we want to talk about.
I'm down for that.
I thought Joe would appreciate that. I know Danner likes to talk about other things.
What are you talking about? My life revolves around games. That is all I do because that is what the subject of our podcast is. So we can't talk about anything else.
But what we're going to do is we just have to fulfill our obligation to talk about video games. And since we haven't done that yet, Danner and Joe, why don't you talk about Wolf Among Us? Can you do this spoiler free, or should I just get up and walk away for about 30 minutes while you circle jerk?
You need to get up and walk away, and our listeners, bless your hearts, I love you. Please go play that game. Pause the podcast, go play and beat the game. You could do it in a day if you marathon it, and then come back.
Because it's roughly about an hour and a half to 2 hours per episode, I want to say.
I don't know if I'm actually going to get around to play it.
And there's 5 episodes, so it's about 10 hours of play.
Just talk about it.
Ish. So,
yep.
Wolf Among Us is based in the world of Fables, which is a comic book, which is like, think of, the best way I like to describe Fables is think of Once Upon a Time, the TV show, if it was good, and then you get Fables.
So grim.
And then put it on HBO.
I guess that's the best way to describe it. But the main character you play as is Bigby. Sheriff
Bigby Wolf. The premise to the universe or to the world is that all of our favorite fables, our mythologies, are real, and they live in their own parallel world, but something happened over there, and I'm sure in the comics, in the number 12, 13, 15 trades there are, they've explained it. Something happens, they have to leave their fantasy world, and
they're basically forced out of their fantasy world and exiled.
They're refugees here, and they've formed their little secret community. So Snow White is there, and Cinderella's there somewhere. Everybody is there.
Beauty, Beast,
and
Mr. Toad. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker.
They're all here.
They're all there.
And the humans can hang out in New York because they can walk around and kind of blend in. But any of the talking animals or the weird looking things have to go live out on the farm way out of New York City. And it's kind of like a gulag concentration camp. People aren't really happy there. But we play as Bigby Wolf, who is the big bad wolf from the Three Little Pigs story.
And
as
from
Sheriff. And from what?
Red Riding Hood.
Oh, yeah, same thing. Yeah, that's right.
You fight the woodsman in the first
episode. I knew that.
And the woodsman.
Well, I was dwelling on Colin the pig that he was.
Joe, so disappointed.
I knew that.
I know, but you seem surprised.
I was surprised that I forgot.
I'm surprised you forgot as well. Very disappointed.
Somebody got a text message.
That was me.
Son of a bitch. Ruining the podcast with your obscure sounds.
Sorry, I'm actively trying not to listen to you guys.
Okay. Then answer your text message. So if you played Walking Dead, it's that similar type of gameplay, kind of quick time events, making conversation decisions that affect what clues you get and where you're going.
I want to say, instead of life and death decisions like you do in the Walking Dead game, you're basically walking the line of, do I want to be a dick or do I want to be a really big dick? That's what the entire game feels like, is am I going to be kind of a dick or am I going to be a full raging dick?
I can't wait to play that a second time and just totally screw everybody. You know what? Oh, yeah. I was kind to Snow White and I followed her orders as she's asking me to go places. I did that. Next time, I'm just going to like be as big of a douche as I can and see where the story takes me. Everybody's getting thrown out a window. Come on, Bigby. Let me stay here in your apartment. Colin, you fat pig. Out the glass. Go to the farm.
To the farm with you. I have to ask, in the I want to say that, was it in episode 1 or episode 2? I know the fight with the woodsman in episode 1 is fun, to say the least, because you guys just literally beat the shit out of each other. And I mean, it is probably one of the most brutal knockdown fights I've seen in any game.
That was the hardest one I engaged in.
Yeah, that was probably the hardest one, and it got a little easier after that. But was it episode 2 that had the bar fight, or was it still episode 1? Oh, the bar
fight was so great.
But you end up fighting a troll, and you end up finding Grendel in a bar. And okay, I have to ask, when given the opportunity with Grendel, what did you do?
I absolutely and totally mashed the X button to rip his arm off.
Okay, I ripped his arm off.
I felt he deserved it.
Yeah, I.
So for the rest of the game, he's got his sleeve pinned up to his shoulder.
He's just got a stub.
Yeah, the fables are all kind of magically imbued with power and strength and regenerate. Since they're fantasy creatures, you know, the camera goes off them, it comes back, they're healed. That's just how it works. But he couldn't grow that arm back. Like, grow that back, fine.
One of the things I thought was really interesting, just because of the fact I've read some fables, I haven't read a lot.
I read the first two trades.
And it just seems like all like fairy tales and stuff like that. And I think when episode 3 rolled around and they started introducing the urban legend characters.
Yeah.
That I wasn't aware that was going to be there. I was like, oh, this is really cool, because then Bloody Mary comes into it.
And the Jersey Devil.
And the Jersey Devil comes into it. And I thought they were very cool characters. I love the 1970s retro Jersey Devil who runs the store. And I'm just like, man, this guy's a real douche. And then he transforms into the Jersey Devil.
That was so cool.
So, I mean, it's just like these unassuming. I like the fantasy characters that basically can transform in there because of the very unassuming human version of them, and then what they turn into is just like, holy shit. I just, oh god, the transformations were done very well. Like, the acting was done. That's the one thing I could definitely say about the game, is the script was good, the acting was good, and
the voice acting was incredible.
Yeah, the voice acting was incredible. The one thing I will say about the game, though, is once again, I will warn everybody, you're playing a Telltale game. It is fundamentally broken from the get-go. Some Telltale games are more broken than others. This is one that I was a little bit more frustrated with, because I couldn't even play episode 3, because it would literally start, do the first 20 seconds, and then freeze and crash my entire PS3. It happened three times in a row. I had to delete the entire game off my system and re-download it in order to even play episode 3.
Aww.
So it's unfortunate. That's kind of the coin toss you get when it comes to any Telltale game. It seems to be thematic, which is dropping frames like crazy.
Yeah, I wonder. Something even my wife noticed it. I wonder if it's because it's constantly thinking or looking at your save file to say, what decisions did he make 3 episodes ago when he spoke to this character? And then it has to queue up the animation and the.
To me,
like, I don't know why.
If you're building all of your games around that kind of style of gaming, wouldn't you build an engine that would properly support your infrastructure better? Wouldn't you build something that lends to that infrastructure that doesn't cause those issues? To me, it seems lazy.
Yeah, I can
incredibly
see
lazy is the fact that you have a. I mean, and it makes me wonder, because of the fact that when Tales from Borderlands come out, are we going to experience the same thing? When Game of Thrones comes out, are we going to experience the same thing? I agree.
Oh yeah, because they're probably going to build
it
on the same engine.
Automatically, to a point where you just have to assume that this is how it is with them. Now, the thing I'm confused about is because I'm also playing Walking. Ooh, fuck. That lamp just jumped out of nowhere. I'm also playing Walking Dead Season 2 right now. I finished Episode 3, 4, and 5 of Wolf Among Us, but I was playing Episode 3 of Season 2 of Walking Dead, and literally started playing it immediately as soon as I finished the last episode of Wolf Among Us. And the one thing I noticed is it doesn't suffer from a lot of the lag issues. Like, it's still, don't get me wrong, it's still not great, but it seemed leaps above Wolf Among Us, which I thought was a little weird. And I don't know if
we
got
ask them.
I know. It's one of those things that I'm wondering if it has to do with the fact that Walking Dead's at episode 3 and there's not as many choices to load in. Whereas, you know, it got felt like I got glitchier and buggier the further you went along in Wolf Among Us and when you're playing in episode 5. Now, the one thing I got to ask you, Joe, is what did you think of the climax fight where you are playing as the fully transformed big bad wolf and fighting
that
Bloody Mary.
That surprised me. Totally didn't see that coming. I'm, you know, they're referencing that a lot of the characters, the pig and the woodsman will reference like the old days when, hey, remember when we were fighting, or remember when you blew down my house? And we're looking at this white dude, scruffy face and a loose tie and a collared shirt. I'm like, yeah, like, how did that work? And when he gets angry and starts to need to fight and get more powerful, he kind of turns into this werewolf critter. But then, big spoiler, yeah, he turns full wolf, giant bestial wolf. And I'm like, yes, okay, totally didn't see it coming. Haven't read the comic to know if that happens in the comic. But hey, there you go. Fun, and I'm glad that got to be an experience.
And I couldn't get over, like, how creepy of a human being Bloody Mary was.
Oh, yeah.
And then when she transformed into something worse, I was just like, holy.
I'm done. I don't want to play this. Oh, no.
And the sound design in that level, because when Bloody Mary evolves into the creature of Bloody Mary, she has shards of glass just sticking out of her everywhere. And as she's walking, the first time you see her and she's walking into the scene, you just see the pieces of glass sticking out of her foot, and then that glass scraping across concrete as she's walking in, and it was just like shivers up my spine, man. I had my 5.1 Dolby Digital headsets on and just listening to this, and I'm just like, oh my god, the sound design is like, this is the first time I've ever been like, the sound design is great in a Telltale game, because it just, the way that scene was designed and how they did Bloody Mary was just really cool. How
it was
they,
like
did that.
A sheet of glass between two pieces of plastic, and you break it, and then imagine twisting that piece of plastic and hearing the glass just rub itself in there, creak. You know, you can't do it with your mouth, but every move she made, that glass was breaking and grinding. Oh, you felt every movement. It's like, okay, that's why she's so pissed, because that can't be comfortable. You know, yeah. I get it now.
Oh, the references, though, about the references she makes when she first shows up in episode 3, when she's talking about how the stupid American kids that constantly say her name in the mirror.
She's got to show up.
boy, do they get a surprise when I actually do show up. I was just like, man, just really well done. And I think how the only thing that I was a little distracting to me is how cool the supporting characters were to the villain, and way more interesting than I think the Crooked Man was actually himself.
Yeah, I had a hard time following the plot, and that's probably not Telltale's faults, because I don't follow plots well. I just kind of go along for the ride. I think a second playthrough will help, even though I'm going to play it differently. But so when he started coming into it, I couldn't tell how he was related to the headless prostitute from the beginning of the game. Like why is he? And, you know, end of the game, I kind of figured it out. But he became less sinister as, you know, as his underlings. And he became almost a half sympathetic creature, and until he, well, I'll leave that actual end of the game a surprise. I will leave that part a surprise.
For some reason, though, I found it incredibly, I don't know why it humored me, the fact that the Little Mermaid Nerissa is a stripper. For some reason that tickled me. I don't know why, but, I just now, the end of, was it the end of episode 1 where they do? Yeah, it's episode 1, the cliffhanger at the end of that. How did that make you feel?
Repeat that, I apologize.
When episode 1 ends, how did that make you feel when it ended with Snow White's head on the steps?
Well, that didn't happen in the comic, is what my instinct was, because, like, she's an important character.
Yeah.
And I didn't... You know, sometimes you get offended when they change a story. I mean, and no, the first trade is not this story at all. This is its own thing. But Snow White's an important character in the comic. And so when you kill her off in the first 1/5 of your game, I was like, what? Like, okay, now I don't know that's going to happen at all. So I was very, very surprised.
I was going to say, the end of episode 1, I was just like, hooked. I'm in. And then it turns out that some things aren't as they appear to be type of a situation. So overall, I mean, I'm very happy with the game. I enjoyed the game. I think it's definitely worth playing. My biggest issue is I just wish Telltale would build their games on a better infrastructure. I think I like what they're doing, but I hate how they do it. So
yeah,
it makes me appreciate, and the problem is I've been on a huge Telltale kick lately, because they had that 99-cent sale, flash sale, like a month and a half ago, and it was all the Telltale games, and I just was like, nah, it's a buck, I'll buy them all. And I bought Jurassic Park, and I bought Sam and Max Season 2, and I bought Escape from Monkey Island, and all those that they did, and been slowly playing, and the further back I go in the games, the harder and harder they are to play.
Huh.
Because Sam and Max, I started playing Episode 1 of that, and it plays exactly like Back to the Future, which I enjoyed Back to the Future, but it's one of those games where you're in this world. There's people to talk to here. You go and you talk to everybody in this world. You move on to the next screen. Load screen, 20 seconds. Now you're in the next area. You talk to these people. You find out now you need this item from this person that was in the last area. Load screen, 20 seconds. Back in this other area. You go and talk to this guy, you get this item. Then you find out you got to go back and talk to the other guy because he has the other item that joins with this item. And it's just giant fetch quest and...
with giant load times.
Conversation with huge load times. And it's just like... it's like the more and more I play Sam and Max, I'm not familiar with the characters. I'm not familiar with Sam and Max, but the more and more I play the game, the more and more I get the humor and more amusing it becomes to me. But the gameplay style, Sam and Max plays exactly like the Back to the Future game that they did. And it's just load screen with area to walk around, load screen with area to walk around, and it's just fetch quest, fetch quest, fetch quest. And it's just, it grinds, and it's... easy to understand why it's a little more streamlined now and you don't have that, because I think they're so focused on the storytelling and the choice aspect of things as opposed to the running around having conversations with everybody.
Yeah.
And then finding items to unlock these giant puzzles, but the items are so spread out and the tasks are so monotonous that you're just like, okay, come on, let's wrap this up. Let's get to the next portion of this.
I tried playing Jurassic Park and I couldn't get into it. It played too old, I guess.
I liked it because of the fact that I paid a buck for it and it was completely worth the buck I played.
Okay.
I paid for it. But
well, I paid free for it and I couldn't get into it.
Well, I was going to say you just played the first episode though, right?
Yeah, because I was kind of okay. I think there was a point where they're going through the electric fence and they test it. And I don't know what didn't hook me. I mean, I love Jurassic Park. I don't think I cared about the characters.
To me, I think what hooked me about the Jurassic Park was the fact that it starts during the first movie and it's overlapping with a lot of what's going on during the first movie. So a lot of things that actually happen in the first movie kind of impact the first couple episodes. But then the last few episodes take place after, you know, the group from the movie would have left the island.
Mm-hmm.
And then also explains how the dinosaurs survived, because you end up with one of the scientists releasing something into the water system. Which allows that takes over that enzyme control that they put in where they would die after 6 days if they didn't get their nutrients. Well, they dump something into the water system that, you know, goes to save a herd of dinosaurs, but the scientist who's with you actually releases it into the entire island's water system, which ends up keeping all the dinosaurs alive.
So we can have Jurassic World later.
Yeah.
The movie.
And the fact that you go into portions of the park that weren't in the movie.
I really want to see the apiary. I read about that in the book.
That's mm-hmm. in Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah, it's in Jurassic Park 3.
I must have blocked from my memory, but I'll have to rent that maybe. Jurassic Park
3.
I was going to say that. I think that was the whole reason they did Jurassic Park 3, so they could have actually done the other half of the first book that they just didn't do. But, I mean, Jurassic Park isn't worth what the $30 when it came out by all means, but it was totally worth 99 cents to play through. So, I mean, like I said, the Telltale games are, they're getting better the longer they're doing things, but very slowly. So, I mean, it's, you have to be willing to make a sacrifice a little bit in your game standards, I feel, to play a Telltale. You have to be in it for the story, and you have to be in it for the characters. You have to be in it
for the story, and they're good at it. The Walking Dead, I mean, I'm so invested in that story that I don't want to play the game because I don't want the characters to die. That, as weird as that is, that says something about how I feel about that game and how much I love it.
The thing I'm enjoying about Season 2 so far is how badass Clementine is.
she's
walking the Carl line now. So I'm enjoying it. I think because it's mostly, I mean, ultimately it's coming down to the fact that season one and season two is ultimately, I mean, it's Clementine's journey.
It's Clementine's story.
Yeah.
Now, hang on. Real quick here, Wolf Among Us, to put a cap on that. Will you remember it come January when we're doing our game of the year list?
Honestly don't think it's going to make my game because of the glitches. I don't think it's going to make my game of the year list. The glitches took me out of it just enough that I don't think it'll make it. There's a good chance Walking Dead season 2 is going to make it because the glitches are not nearly as apparent and the story's very solid. And the tension's very well built in that game. But unless everything that comes out in the fourth quarter is an absolute stinker, it's very unlikely that it's going to make it into my list.
It's going to make it into my list because it's going to be one of the four games that I play this year.
And he's still going to have to make up a fifth.
I don't see, like I keep looking at like the release schedule for this fall, and I was hoping that E3 would kind of fill out the fall, you know?
Oh, God, no.
But like, there's like nothing that immediately comes out as like a game of the year like contender. Like I feel like it's just gonna be made of like, it's gonna consist of games that were like good, but like if you stacked them up against like last year's games or the games the year before that, like they wouldn't even have made the list.
There's only one game that I'm fairly positive is gonna end up being the game of the year,
which is
Evolve.
I hope I get a chance to play that.
You'll get a chance to play it because I'm going to buy it.
Well, I mean, like, you know, own it.
Well,
I feel like, and I've said this before, but I wasn't sure if I got lost because Allie and I were watching. We found the 12-hour recording of Polygon's E3 coverage,
mm-hmm.
and we were watching it because she likes the McElroy brothers, and we were watching E3's or Microsoft's press conference, and they had Sunset Overdrive on there. Man, that game is being sent to die. So
I mean,
bad.
It looks cool, but it's one of those things that I can guarantee that when January rolls around, it's going to be $30.
No, probably even before that. Like I can see that being a Black Friday $30 game because
I know it just for some reason it just I don't know.
It's going to get destroyed, and I like Microsoft is hyping it up as like a reason to buy their system like this fall. Like that was like one of their first party like titles that they were like hammering home at E3. But it's like you guys are sending it out to die. You're releasing it between Battlefield and Call of Duty. And then the week after that is the Halo collection. Like, wow. Way to just like, you know, say, hey, come make this game exclusively for us when your system isn't even selling all that well.
You know, I did something weird.
What?
I actually ordered Halo Collection.
Allie's going to get it too.
Well, it's okay. Here's my defense for why I'm ordering.
Are we going to try and find the story?
I'm going to try to find the story because I've never played Halo Combat Evolved.
What?
I've played the multiplayer, but I've never played the game.
Oh, I've played all of them except for 4.
I got bored halfway through the Arbiter story and ran out of bullets the moment the Flood showed up in Halo 2 and a save point popped in and I had no way to go back and get ammo and said, fuck it, I'm done. I think I played the first two levels of Halo 3, never got any further than that. And then Halo 4, I got far enough to the point to decide the game wasn't shitty, and then I stopped playing.
That's in the cheat bin at GameStop now.
I still have a copy of it.
I've been thinking of picking it up for 10 bucks.
I just don't
want to
hook up my Xbox 360 because it's too much work.
Yeah.
Just like I'm waiting for an HD version of Mass Effect to come out because I just can't bear to go over and plug the HDMI cable in the back of my 360.
I don't know. I'll have a copy of Halo in the house because Allie's going to pick it up. But that's one of those games.
I'm playing it for the story. I'm not playing it for the multiplayer, for the 120 maps of multiplayer.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, you're just being snarky. There is no story to Halo.
There's a story to Halo.
There's stories in porn too.
Wait
a second. No, that's right. It's gaming porn is Halo, and much like regular porn, there is no discernible plot.
Okay, I understand is a story to Halo, but any Halo fan I've ever run
into... As long as you read all the novels.
Yes, any Halo fan I've ever run into, and I make the comment, there's no, where's the story? What's the story? Their immediate response is, have you read the books? What?
Why do I need to read the books to get the story?
Exactly. Like, I understand I'm a dude, and I've got guns, and I'm going to run up, and I'm going to shoot stuff, and it's going to die, and then I keep moving on to the next room, where I shoot stuff, and it's going to die, and I understand that people are talking about things.
There's more exposition in a hidden room in Fallout 3 that just has dead bodies in it, that the way things are laid out, it tells you an entire story, and it's a slice of 45 seconds of the entire game. That little Easter egg in Fallout 3 has more exposition than the entire Halo series.
Left 4 Dead has more exposition than the Halo series.
Ooh. Nice.
I don't think they play very badly. I think Bungie makes good games. I mean, we're all excited for Destiny.
Oh, Destiny looks beta tomorrow, baby.
Right. But, it's just the Halo games. I never got them. And one of the other problems is, I remember, what was it? 2001 when Metroid hit. Is that when Halo hit? It's 2011 or not? No, sorry. 2001. When was the Xbox released? 01?
That 01. Sounds about right.
Yep, it was 01. So you've got, I think Metroid Prime came out in 2002. So I remember just seeing Metroid Prime like on the GameCube and thinking it looked way better than Halo. Because it did. I mean, there's no two ways about that. But I just never got like the Halo stuff. I mean, like I said, I've played them. My favorite ones are actually the ones where you aren't Master Chief, which is ODST.
ODST is the only one that I've beaten and enjoyed. And that had a lot to do with the fact that the voice cast was Firefly.
I bought that recently and then forgot about it after I was playing it for a while.
The story's fun. I like it. I mean, and I like the interactions between everybody and the numerous Firefly references that are just sprinkled all throughout that thing.
But I don't know. But yeah, I just like I'm just trying to think of what could be like a game of the year contender. I mean, yeah, Evolve's probably going to be on there, but is Evolve going to be on there? I mean,
I think Evolve and Destiny is going to be on there. And I know because Sean's predictable, Unity will be on there.
Unity?
Assassin's Creed. Sorry, do I have to use the full titles now for games?
I haven't heard of that.
Well, the problem is Unity is
You
haven't
also heard of Unity? It's the one I showed you with the four assassins all
Hold
working
on.
Together.
Oh, that's right.
Unity is also the name of an engine for games.
Well, hardly anybody's going to know that. Because I didn't.
When
know.
Someone says Unity, I immediately think game engine. I don't think Assassin's Creed. I'm sorry.
That's the same thing I think when anybody says Unreal. I don't think of the company. I think of the game engine because nobody believes in the company anymore.
Well, because Unreal is actually Epic.
Oh yeah. Can we strike that? Can we just edit that out? Because that just made me feel like Sean all of a sudden. Oh no, I've recovered by that comment, so never mind. You can keep it in.
But yeah, this year the game of the years, and maybe this is the way it's like always kind of been, but there are games that have been on my game of the year list since we've done this show, which are like, they're good games because they're, it's going to sound kind of weird, but maybe you guys might understand, but they're good games because they're actually good, not because they're like fun. I mean, kind of like you can have like a good movie that's like a dramatic, you know, a dramatic turn movie that's actually like really good, but it's not like a fun movie. Like, I feel like Evolve's going to be on there, not necessarily because it's like a good game, but more so because it's fun.
We're all going to have a crap ton of fun with it
as like a group of friends, not because like, it's kind of like Last of Us to me was good because the story and everything else in it was good, but the game mechanics and the glitches in the game that I experienced like kept snapping me out of it. So when I did when I put that on my game of the year list, I didn't put it on there because the game was like fun or played really well. I put it on there because it was a good game, like story wise and plot wise and graphically. Whereas I feel like Evolve and maybe even Destiny to a certain extent might be on there just because we have fun playing it with like a group of people. And I'm not saying like one reason is better than the other. I'm just saying this year the games that are going to be on there are probably just going to be on there because they're more fun for us to play in a group.
I can predict right now that Battlefield Hardlines will not be on my list.
It's not going to be on mine because I'm not going to own it.
And Call of Duty's not going to be on my list.
Mine either.
Rainbow Six is next year.
Yes.
If you're lucky.
Boo!
Because as much as I want to be optimistic and say it's going to be next year, no, I have my doubts. Next
year. It's not next year because The Division is next year.
Yep.
Oh, God. It's going to be a long time before I get into the new current gen.
So we're all excited for Destiny, though?
I'm pretty psyched about Destiny.
The beta, I've heard, is 3 story chapters and multiplayer.
Ooh. Since we only got 1 story chapter in the alpha.
Was that even like story chapter? I don't even know if that was like a story chapter. I feel like that was just like, let's test the servers and how like the drop-in, drop-out multiplayer stuff worked.
I'm really hoping that they have a different performance from Peter Dinklage that is a little more awe-inspiring than what we got.
They have said that they were either, I can't remember if they said that they were re-recording it or if that wasn't the only, like if your AI evolves over the course of the game.
Okay. Evolves a personality?
Yeah. Which could be true.
Could he go crazy and be like the crazy droid in Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic?
Could he just become GLaDOS?
Yeah, well, I was more so, one. As long as it's GLaDOS's voice, but calls everybody meatbags, then I'm okay with it.
So now that we filled our video game quota, now what?
Should we give him a lunchroom?
We could give him a lunchroom.
All right. Should I just do another introduction? Or should I just like... I'm going to need like lunchroom music. If we're going to do this, I'm going to need lunchroom music.
You got that new track from Ben.
Like the one that you just sent me?
Yeah, the one I just sent you. Use that one for lunchroom.
Okay. I will go ahead and use that one. So what's going to happen now is actually I'm going to play the entire track from Benny Doom. I'm just going to drop it in here. And once that's over on the other side, we'll have episode 1 of volume 4 of The Lunchroom. So we'll be right back after this new track from Benny Doom. And as I said before the track started playing, this is The Lunchroom, Volume 4, Episode 1. The reason it's called Volume 4 is because a long
time ago.
In 2009, I decided to start a podcast or start podcasting. Well, basically after the fall of, there was a giant exodus that happened at 1UP.com. I was listening to a bunch of their podcasts and a bunch of their guys broke out and, you know, moved on to other things. And they shortly thereafter, they started their own podcast. And I was like, well, wait a second. If they can just start a podcast and they don't actually work for a network, they're just doing it. Obviously they have followers from when they were on the website, but I was like, you know, I could do that. Why can't I do that? So did some quick research and I talked to a couple of people, mainly, you know, Danner here and some of my other friends at the time. And we decided to devise a podcast that was actually supposed to be called The Lunch Table. And then somehow it became The Lunch Room. And that went through like 3 iterations and then died.
We killed it.
We killed it. Dead. Actually, the last version of The Lunchroom, I think we did 3 or 4 episodes before we took over Extreme Retro Gaming for Geekcast Radio. And that was 2 years ago this week, this episode. This episode is actually 2 years.
Yay!
We've been doing this.
Hey!
Hey, look at that. So yeah, that was volume 3 that we let that one die on. I think we only did like 4 or 5 episodes. And... well, you know, as you heard, Danner and I have kind of always, well, I've always kicked around the idea of busting out and doing The Lunchroom again. But I only have time for one podcast.
Hmm.
Most of us only have time for one podcast.
Uh-huh.
So here we are. We're slapping The Lunchroom on the end of some off the cuff because after all, we are The Lunchroom crew.
Yes.
It's like slapping nuts on the bottom of off the cuff.
We're teabagging off the cuff.
Yeah. If I could stretch them far enough, I would bang them against my blue ball.
That's an unfortunate name.
That would make sense microphone. If there was a webcam and you could see that I have a blue microphone that's shaped like a ball and that it's about 2 feet away from my testicles. Darn. Anyway.
Way to make it awkward.
What do we want to talk about?
I have you guys seen the picture of Ultron?
Yes.
Guess what? He looks like Ultron.
He looks like Ultron.
He
Thank
does.
You, Marvel.
And if you look
for...
very carefully, he also looks like it's the Iron Man's helmet. If you look at the features carefully enough,
and you squint a little bit there,
it's, you know what it doesn't look like? James Spader.
Yep. Because I was worried it was going to look like fat James Spader the entire time.
Oh huh. Man. I watched that Supernova movie I told you about. He has not aged gracefully at all. Anyways. Yeah, it looks like Ultron.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch more of him in the background, too. That's cool.
I know. I just.
It's Marvel. What was anyone worried about?
I'm not worried at all. I mean, I could really give two shits about Ultron. I'm going to be really blatantly obvious about that. I'm more excited about Hulkbuster Iron Man versus Hulk in the movie, because that's going to be sick. And if the rumor's true about what's going to happen to Hulk at the end of the movie, I am super excited. Has anybody heard the rumor? Anybody?
Are they going to set up Planet Hulk?
No, it's even better than that.
Nope.
Okay.
I haven't heard it.
Theoretically, this is supposedly the rumor. If it's true, awesome. If it's not true, that's fine too. The rumor as of right now is they don't believe in Hulk to carry his own movie. They've just kind of gotten to the point that they don't think Hulk can carry his own movie. So theoretically, in the climax of the movie, you're going to see Ultron launch Hulk throw him into a rocket of some sort and just launch him into deep space. And that's going to be the end of the Hulk. Now, theoretically, you're thinking in your minds, well, this is going to lead to Planet Hulk. But the rumor is the Easter egg is the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to find the rocket, are going to get the Hulk out, and Guardians 2 is going to be a team-up movie with the Guardians and Hulk in outer space. which totally up for. I would totally
three CG characters.
Although I'll say this, yeah, the Hulk looked great, but I don't know that I've seen a better looking Marvel movie than Guardians right now.
Oh God, it looks gorgeous.
I, you know, we had the 17-minute preview last Monday.
What?
Yep. Yep.
In IMAX. I don't know. I'm dead serious. I don't think I've seen a better looking Marvel movie. The
what
effects
was that attached to?
It was just by itself.
It was by itself. They did
how did I see it?
It was a special invite only type of a thing. They send emails out to people and you get a ticket to essentially go to the movie, any local IMAX theater and go and see it. And watch the 17-minute, they pretty much show the prison break scene from what I was told with an extended trailer on the end of it.
Yep, yep. That's pretty much it. But Rocket and Groot, I don't know that I've seen more solid looking CGI characters. So I'm really excited for that movie.
Did I hear correctly that the mocap person for Rocket Raccoon is James Gunn's brother?
I haven't followed that stuff.
Yeah, supposedly it was James Gunn's brother running around in a mocap suit for all the Rocket Raccoon stuff. It was like fantastic.
I mean, it wasn't Andy Serkis. There are other people that wear mocap suits.
There's other people. I'm going to tell you a secret right now. Andy Serkis is not the only person that's ever worn a mocap costume.
Oh, yeah, there's Nolan North and Troy Baker.
Yeah. So let's just break down those walls and put that out there for you. There's more people than, you know, just Andy Serkis that wear mocap.
So we're all excited for Guardians.
I'm very excited. Very. My wife is postponing a trip to Ohio so that she can watch that with me opening night on Friday and then leave first thing in the morning. Like, how hot is that?
Are you going to do a midnight with me or 10 o'clock show, Joe?
Jenny might end up wanting to come, but that's good. Totally awesome.
There was a Facebook page.
I was just going to ask you guys, because we have my wife has 30 movie tickets.
Jesus.
Saved up. And I am thinking of making a group to go to the IMAX when it opens, but I can't commit to anything right now.
Can we put that together? Like, can somebody email Jenny? I can email Jenny because I...
Do you want me to invite Jenny to the Facebook page?
Yes, if you can include a message that says, hey, let this be your date or something, let she knows that it can happen in conjunction with us being a totally awesome nerd couple. That would be fantastic. Speaking of that, that reminds me, I guess listeners, if you have an opinion, we would love to hear it on the page, but are we going to do a spouse's edition of lunchroom / off the cuff?
Ugh.
I really want to do that.
I don't think Janelle will do it.
Allie would.
Well, if those two gang up on Janelle, maybe we can
You know, Sean has a significant other.
Yeah.
You only need three.
Well, good point.
So.
Well,
good point.
We can toy with that.
All right.
Do you guys care or anything about Thor being a woman?
Nope. I think it's cool. Don't get me wrong. I just, and it's not surprising with how Original Sin's going. So
I just heard about this today. What is our Thor dying and some other
person's
going to pick up
dying.
The hammer?
No. Thor's not going to be carrying Mjolnir anymore.
Okay.
He's going to be carrying Jar Jar Born. His axe that he supposedly lost when he was a youth, and then somebody I haven't read the article, so I'm assuming it's his missing sister that's coming back, which is being brought out of the Original Sin storyline that's going on, that I'm assuming his sister is going to come back and his sister is going to take up the mantle of Thor and use Mjolnir. Because, yeah, from what it sounds, it's going to be like a book with both of them. It's not.
It doesn't really sound
like they're getting rid of Thor. It sounds like his sister is going to be
carrying Mjolnir. Yeah, I don't think you can call it female Thor. It's like, you don't put on that name. He was born with that name. You put on Mjolnir and that armor that comes with it.
Now, see, I've heard differently. I've heard two things, that it could possibly be Angela, the character that they got from Spawn.
No.
Or, she's in Guardians, but she could come over.
Yeah, or it's some new, it would be a new female character that Thor saved, and she models herself off of him.
Like Beta Ray Bill.
Yes. I know that there are a lot of people that were like up in arms about this, because those people are dumb.
Yeah, whoopee-doo. But it's something they'll undo in a year and a half.
Well, I thought it was really funny that a lot of the people that don't really have a problem with it responded.
They're making a major Captain America announcement tonight. Today's the 16th. Tonight on Colbert Report at 11:30.
Wow, I was gonna say something about Thor being a frog, and then you just jumped in there with that.
Well, it was appropriate that I jumped in since you were going to talk about frogs. Ha! See what I did?
Oh boy!
Oh, boo, boo! I'm sorry. Now that I completely ran over whatever the hell Mike was trying to accomplish with the frog thing, let's talk about music.
I'm going to a Nine Inch Nails concert in a couple days.
Wants to talk about Weird Al.
Fuck yeah, Weird Al.
Oh my god, those music videos have been outstanding.
This has been like the best week ever. I'm just saying. I mean, my work life has blown super huge goats. But, man, that's been the silver lining to an otherwise shitty week, has been the release of those music videos. We still got 5 more days of that. It's fantastic.
I haven't even seen them all. I've only seen 2 or 3, I think.
Have you seen Tacky?
Yep, Tacky's the that was awesome.
Seen Word Crimes?
Yep, that was also they're all good.
Foil, which was released today?
Yes, saw that.
Foil's so that's the 3.
That one took a turn. That one was
fantastic.
Like, wait a minute. How did he get there? Tin hats.
And the fact that like both the live action videos have had been star powered also, which I thought was cute.
What is really surprising me about Weird Al and this kind of strange revival is a bunch of my 30 something year old friends are totally freaking out like they were fans before. And yeah, I haven't thought about Weird Al since I was 14 years old, 13 years old, where it was kind of embarrassing that I listened to him. And yes, I got the humor listening to those old albums he's tearing the Mickey out of this song that I know from the radio, and he's doing his own version. But being an adult and looking at what he's doing right now, I notice the satire and the intellectual way that he approaches doing what he does, and I love it so much more. When I heard he was coming out with a new album, I was like, who cares? I'll just ignore that. But now I really have to go buy it. I think it's really fun.
Good luck with that.
What?
I've bought 4 CDs, actually legitimately bought 4 CDs in the last 6 months. And I'll tell you right now, it was a pain in the ass to locate those CDs in stores.
I go to Vertigo Music. They have everything. And if they don't have it, they order it.
There's this magical store called iTunes, and then you just go point click and sold. And
see,
it's
I was going to do that, but the first 2 CDs I bought, it was the PS4 launch day, and we were at Best Buy just hanging out, waiting for midnight to come around. And I was like, hey, I could buy some other stuff right now because I'm flush with cash. So I decided to buy 2 CDs. It took us an hour to find the 2 CDs in Best Buy.
I'm sorry.
The CD section isn't that long anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And it's a freaking mess.
Yes, it is. They don't care about it anymore.
I was going to also point out how incredibly douchey the fact that you just said that I was flush with cash was. What? I just wanted to, in case anybody skipped over that, I just wanted to go back and.
That's all right. You know, you can go back.
Rewind,
can,
pull that out. Just
you can go back on it.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe in virtual ownership because I don't trust iTunes to take that back someday. But. My record store, they do pretty good. And someday they won't release CDs anymore, and I don't know what I'll do because I won't want to spend anything more
than
$5.
You'll download them on iTunes, and then you'll drop them over into the section, and you go, burn to CD, and then your digital becomes a hard copy.
Yeah.
See?
I've had iTunes installed on my computer 3 times for a grand total of about 45 minutes of of time actually being on the computer. Like I noticed things starting to pop up and happen. Like I didn't give it permission to do. It's like this virus. And so I immediately delete it. I hate iTunes.
I want to point out to everybody once again, going to remind you, he still uses a dumb phone. Don't put any stock into any of his anti-technology, technology. Such a rhetoric. Luddite.
I don't know. I've been using iTunes on Windows and OS X since 2003, and I've never had an issue with it on either platform.
But I don't like when I have certain programs configured to like play MIDI music or video a certain way that when I installed iTunes, it like makes itself the default player for everything.
So you
and like that, that becomes the default program to open JPEGs. Like what, why do you want to do that? I don't like that kind of stuff. And it's just,
I've never had it opened up a picture ever.
I don't know if it does. I just pulled that out of my butt, but
yeah, we just sound like an idiot.
Well, you know, it's been like 4 years since I've had iTunes anywhere.
No, but I mean, I can understand people's frustrations with it, but that's just whatever.
People complaining. It doesn't. You guys are the right ones. You have the real answer. But I do think, that's a.
I've used it consistently. I've used it daily and consistently for 11 years without issue. So
maybe I need to stand over your shoulder someday.
Nah, it's all right. Hey, I know what we can talk about really quick.
What's that?
What?
Because Danner finally watched, finished one season and started the second season. Legend of Korra.
I'm 3, 4, 5, 6 episodes into season 2.
I need to see season 2.
Have you gotten to the origin story?
I'm going to take my headphones off.
No, we'll come back later because he hasn't gotten to the good part yet.
Okay.
He's still flying around.
That might be the next episode.
Oh, it's a two-parter. It is brilliant. It makes the Star Wars prequels look like shit.
Well, even more. It doesn't even really more. Take a whole lot.
Even
I mean,
more.
I could take a video camera and go fart on a snare drum for an hour, and that would look better.
Those 44 minutes of Legend of Korra just that still. Oh my gosh, they did an amazing job.
Whose origin do we get?
I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
Let's just say they do in two episodes what, you know, George tried to do with episode one with the Midichlorians. They do it in 44 minutes with Legend of Korra, and it is, well, just as good as everything else that they've done.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
How are you watching this? Like, where is it?
It's airing right now on Nickelodeon, season 3 is. And I have seasons 1 and 2 on Blu-ray.
Okay.
Plus, I gave it all to Danner.
If it's on Blu-ray, or rather Nickelodeon, it's probably streaming on Comcast.
Season 3 is. Season 2 is
gone.
But Danner has all of it.
I was going to say, season 1 is on Amazon Prime.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
That's how I watched season 1. All in HD, baby.
It was gorgeous. I loved season 1 and Toph's daughter and
I liked parts of season 1. Season 1. Yeah. The end of season 1 was very disappointing to me. Very disappointing.
They punked a villain that I thought was going to last for 3 seasons.
I don't think they punked the villain. They punked all the consequences of that villain.
Yeah.
I thought there were going to be consequences that we would get to see, like, oh, so that's what it's like to be a bender and you're not a bender anymore. But then they're like, nope. Luckily, season 2 has consequences and they keep them. Major consequences.
Pregnancy?
No. Not that's something.
That's the kind of Nickelodeon show I want to see.
No. And you know what? I applaud them for having a female lead character and have that not be like, have her not have female problems. Not like blatant female problems, like your stereotypical female problems.
And I'm absolutely sure that Avatar passes that woman in cinema test. I can't remember what the name of it's called, but
Bechdel.
If your female character speaks to another female character, and it's not about a man, it passes the test. I think is that how it is?
Yeah, but they also have to be able to talk to the male character. If they don't talk to the male character at all, like if it's any female character talks to the lead, doesn't talk to the lead character, and any two female characters, you know, they don't. It just has to do with how the female characters are treated.
Yeah.
More so in related to who the lead is. But I think I haven't heard any complaints about, you know, the Legend of Korra being.
No, she's as awesome a character as the new Lara Croft and Samus, which except for the other M, that didn't count. I like the strong female leads. I think I'm very excited to be getting more and more of those. And
I will say the one thing that I agree with Danner is that I wanted more of adult Aang. And we may never get that.
I didn't think they were going to give it to us. I think that could be its own thing somehow, somewhere.
I mean, I understand, like, season one had its faults, and that was entirely Nickelodeon's problem because they were originally only going to do one season. The creators only wanted to do like one follow-up season, and somewhere along the lines, I guess Nickelodeon thought it was going to be good. And they're like, no, you can have, I think they either gave them, asked them to do three books or four.
Four would have made sense since there are four elements.
But this has nothing to do with the elements.
Yeah.
Korra has zero to do with the elements.
Well, not like the first one did.
Right. But I think that when they were asked to do those extra seasons while they were working on season one. So season one became all of a sudden, oh, how do we extend this story? Which is why I think you got so much bending, like the bending tournaments, which is going to be a game now, right?
Oh, you're talking about season, or what do they call it? The second series. That's why that got stretched out.
The second series got stretched out.
That makes sense. That's why they killed off their main villain in the first season, because like that story arc had already started when they were told, okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That can cripple, it won't cripple those guys because they do such a good job writing, but that was a douchey thing to do.
I don't know that I've seen a series, especially a television series, that could just like pick up so seamlessly after another series has been off the air for like 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not only pick up kind of like where it left off, but move it ahead like 80 years and still have it, you know, pay the homage and be just as good as your original series that set you up.
Mm-hmm.
So I really can't think of anything off the top of my head because we all know it's not Star Wars. But anything else you guys want to talk about?
I don't know. It's a video game topic again, but what do you guys have to say about me selling my video game collection?
I think you're an idiot.
Okay.
Seriously, that's a thing? You selling the video game collection?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about book. Definitely sizing it down.
He read a book.
About and, what? And I visited a retirement community that was awesome.
He read a book.
About what?
Siddhartha. You ever read that in middle school?
No.
But it was reading the book and visiting the villages in Florida, a big retirement community. You gotta be 55 to live there. And I kind of, between the book and seeing that, I realized how huge a burden it's going to be to move, to carry on, to maintain, to even just have down here. I mean, I'm not treating it well. I think there are things that I will keep. You know, the main reason for having the collection is to share it with Oliver and to share it with friends and guests. So things will have to stay, but you know, I have everything that I had on my list of I want this, or like I played this as a child. So I'm done. And it's not fun anymore. You know, it's not fun to go to the retro stores.
I think getting rid of it right now is the wrong thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting rid of it, like eventually that's okay, fine. But getting rid of it like now, like, I think it's the wrong thing to do because you started collecting it for a reason and you haven't even like met that reason. Yeah, you had a list of the stuff you wanted to collect and you accomplished that. But the reason you were collecting the stuff, you haven't even met that yet. And so to do it now before you've even met that reason, that would make it all that work, all the hard work you put in, even more pointless. So like maybe like once you've like, you know, so you've accomplished your collection, maybe once you can check off the reason you started your collection, then sure, then you can start like trimming it down, and maybe you only keep like the stuff that works or the stuff that's actually, you know, good. Or maybe like the stuff that Oliver likes, you keep that stuff.
And then you give the rest to me.
Or you sell it. For a college
or
fund.
Sell it for money, whatever.
For a college fund.
Well, I think what I would definitely keep an NES. Do I need four NESs and one of them is sealed in a box? No. You know, do I need all six different colors of N64? No.
I think you can trim it down.
Yeah, I think it would be a fairly major trimming, but there would definitely be things that would stay and some very important things that I think would stay.
Like that power glove.
Just because it's such a terrible thing and it doesn't play very good, it doesn't do anything very well, I think that would be something that I would get rid of.
I was kidding.
Okay, but I do have that one that we need to take a picture of and turn into a logo.
Yep. But no, yeah, I think you should just, you know, maybe trim it down, but don't get rid of a lot of it until
Oliver's played it.
Yeah. Because otherwise it would have just been, I don't want to say like, I think a waste of time is too harsh because I think you honestly had fun looking for the stuff. But if you don't at least accomplish the reason you did it, then yeah, it could end up feeling like it was a waste of time.
Good point.
So it's like, you know, I buy a bunch of, I don't buy a bunch of, I'm sorry. I download a lot of TV shows and I save all of them. And part of the reason I save them all is because I think TV is getting dumber and I want to be able to show my kids good TV. So that's one of the reasons my wife is like, why don't you just, cause I keep buying new hard drives to store more TV shows on. And my wife is like, why don't you just start deleting old TV shows that you're not going to watch anymore? Because I might want to show them to somebody someday. So, not exactly the same thing because I haven't spent any money on it. But I did spend all that time watching those TV shows to see if they were good.
Fucking Comcast.
Oh, did you go away?
Yeah.
I saw the... Oh. Are you on the right microphone? You're on your phone now, aren't you?
What?
You sound completely different.
Did my phone turn into the microphone?
Are you calling in on your phone?
No. What do you think this is?
Seriously, are you calling in on your phone?
No.
Okay. Just saying, you sound completely differently. Completely
well,
different.
Well, maybe my connection's bullcrap now. I don't know.
You don't sound worse.
Okay.
You just sound more natural.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, shit.
You don't sound nearly so much like you have a giant penis now.
No. Well,
now it sounds small.
That's exactly what I was going for.
Okay, I think we should wrap this up.
Small dick Tanner. Ha ha.
We've been talking for an hour and 40 minutes.
Oh my god.
No one's going to listen to this.
Nope.
Oh,
if you did,
God.
We'd love to hear from you on the website.
Oh, one other thing, real quick.
Oh, Jesus, of course there's one more thing.
I am talking with Steve about putting in, it's called SpeakPipe. It will allow users to effectively leave us
voicemails. This sounds like a new version of Glory Hole.
What?
That doesn't make any sense at all.
SpeakPipe, Glory Hole, same thing.
Oh.
I'm trying to find my script for closing us. Anyways, it's called SpeakPipe. It's a plugin that we put on the webs that we'll put on the website, and people will be able to click on it and leave us short little messages, either via like, like little questions or tell us how we're doing, if we suck, you know. And I can get those
personally to the specific people, or
what
is it, like a personalized inbox?
It's for everybody. It'd be for everybody.
Oh,
for everyone on the thing to use, but. We would be able to, you know, you guys can leave us voicemail messages. And I can embed them in the show because we can get them as audio clips. So we can say,
that's
hey,
cool.
Hey, we have a question
Welcome
from
to the future.
I can be like, hey, we have a question from so and so. And then I can, instead of reading your question, I can play your clip.
Why is it that Sean's penis is so small?
If you want to get in touch with us, you can comment on our parents' site at geekcastradio.com or send us emails to us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. And like I said before, we're working on the SpeakPipe integration. You can find myself, Michael Powers, on Twitter, Xbox Live, and the PlayStation Network at BoothNinja81. You can also find me on the Wii U at Danner, please.
He wants to know his Nintendo name.
Did I lose him again?
I think Comcast screws Danner.
Oh, no. He didn't get to say the name.
Well, you could be a good doobie and leave me a message. Find Facebook's page, Geek Stuff Garage Sale. Send me a message there. I'd love to hear from you.
Okay. And just in case Danner doesn't come back, you can find Danner on Twitter at ArtDanner. You can find him on Xbox Live at WeaponSpace12. You can also find him on the PlayStation Network at X51 The Machine Man. You can find me on Nintendo at BoothTendo.
That's a lovely name.
I hope you're being sincere because I thought it was kind of cute.
I think it's cute and clever. I'm jealous. So.
All right. See you guys next week. Thanks for listening. We'll be around for another 50. We'll be right back.